ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So chapter 4 Bhagavad Gita is entitled Transcendental Knowledge. And transcendental knowledge means knowledge which is beyond the range of the senses. Our senses, since we're conditioned soul, we have four defects. One of those defects is that our senses are imperfect. Nobody here can claim they have perfect senses. We're conditioned souls. And with those imperfect senses, we make mistakes. And because we make mistakes, we fall into illusion. And after falling to illusion, we try to cheat others and present ourselves as something that we're not. These are the four defects of the conditioned soul. And I'd like to welcome the temple president of this house. Let's all give Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Hari Bol. So transcendental knowledge is knowledge which is beyond the range of our imperfect senses. On the other hand, Krishna's senses are perfect. And therefore, anything that we get from Krishna is absolutely perfect because his senses are perfect. Krishna cannot make a mistake. Therefore, this Bhagavad Gita is a perfect theistic science. There's nothing to worry about. When you read Bhagavad Gita, everything is perfect. And this chapter, especially this section began with verse number 4, when Arjuna asked the question of Krishna, you said, Krishna, that you spoke this Bhagavad Gita to the sun god millions of years ago, but I know you, we've been contemporaries. So then Krishna, in verse number 5, began to explain his unique situation, his unique position as God, how he has appeared many, many times, and he can remember all of them. And he said to Arjuna, you also have appeared many times, but you cannot remember them. Then Krishna explains more about his position as supreme. And now, in verses 7 and 8, he explains why he comes to this world. Krishna lives in the transcendental or spiritual world, but he comes. So in verses 7 and 8, he explains why. Let's look at the translation to verse number 7. Everyone together out loud, read the translation for verse number 7. Together, please.
Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and the predominant rise of religion, at that time I descend myself.
So there you have it. These are the initial reasons why Krishna decides to come to earth. When there's a decline of religion, and that necessarily means a rise in irreligion. And of course, the question I get all the time, Prabhu, right now things are so bad. Why hasn't Krishna come? He says, you just read, right? So people ask all the time, this is such a horrible age. Why hasn't Krishna come? And the answer is, he has come. He has come in the form of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Everybody chant.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Yes, he has appeared. His avatar in the age of Kali is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And anyone who takes to the chanting of this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, that person will be delivered from irreligion. That person will become most religious. And Prabhupada said, Krishna has taken his birth in the womb of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Krishna is there in our Hare Krishna movement. So Krishna is here. It's simply a question of taking advantage of him. Even when Krishna was personally present 5,000 years ago, not everybody took advantage. There were so many who did not accept Krishna. But he's here. He's here in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and anytime you want Krishna, he's there for you. All right, let's chant verse number 8. Please repeat. Paritranaya sadunam,
Paritranaya sadunam,
Vinashaya cha duskritam,
Dharma
sangstapanarthaya, Sambhavami yuge yuge. So everybody takes a turn chanting. Mataji. Paritranaya. For the deliverance. Sadhunam. Of the devotees. Vinashaya. For the annihilation. Cha. And. Duskritam, of the miscreants, dharma, principles of religion, sangstapana artaya, to re-establish, sambhavami, I do appear, yuge, millennium, yuge, after millennium. So this word dharma, principles of religion, Prabhupada explains this word many times, especially in first canto, very completely. Dharma means what is your real occupation? What is it that you're really doing? And Prabhupada explains, I'm pretty sure it's in this introduction to Bhagavad Gita, that the constitutional position of everyone, regardless, theist, atheist, Republican, Democrat, liberal, man, woman, young, old, black, white, doesn't matter, serve. That's what we are. We are servants. And we're only have two choices to serve. Either the material energy or the spiritual energy. That's your two choices. Chocolate and vanilla. That's it. That's all you get. You get to choose, do I want to serve this material energy and be kicked? Or do I want to serve the spiritual energy and be blissful? I think the choice is rather obvious. So we are eternal servants. And this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, O energy of the Lord, O Lord, please engage me in your service. And there's a very nice prayer when Lord Chaitanya is explaining to Sanatan Goswami. Lord Chaitanya quotes one prayer where the devotee says, for so long I have tried to satisfy these senses, but all they've ever done is they're never satisfied. Like maybe you have a boss or you had a boss and no matter what you did wasn't good enough. You tried your best. But no matter what you did, the boss was never satisfied. I've heard over the years, husbands and wives have told me, Prabhu, I've tried so hard to satisfy my husband or wife, but they're never happy. So this devotee in this prayer, quoted by Lord Chaitanya, says, I'm now coming to my senses. I'm no longer going to try to satisfy these senses. They're bad taskmasters. Taskmaster, usually they have the slave ships, and they would be whipped. Roll this boat. Taskmasters. Slavery. You work for a taskmaster. So these senses are just like that. They're taskmasters, slave masters. When you give up Krishna's service, then you're forced to serve your body and senses. And the problem is, they're never satisfied. They want more and more and more. Like I had, many years ago, I had one Indian man. He was an accountant, big accountant. He had rabbis and big clients. And one time I did a program at his house. And after prasad, we were talking. You know how it is. He'd start to talk about the real thing, the life. And he was explaining how his wife, he gave his wife a beautiful house. He gave his wife everything she could possibly want. Not happy. He got her a Mercedes. I want BMW. He gave her a BMW. No, I want Rolls Royce. He gave her this, whatever she wanted. He gave her. Never happy. I have another friend like that I know now, currently. He's in the same boat. No matter what he gets his wife, she's never satisfied. Our senses are just like that. Just like that. So the same position, this prayer of Lord Chaitanya. I am now, my Lord, approaching you. Please give me shelter, because you are a very kind, loving master. And you'll see so many prayers in Bhagavatam describing how Krishna is the most merciful master. I've said many times, if you were to offer Radharani billions of dollars to give up Krishna, would she give up Krishna? No. And no matter what Krishna does to Radharani, she'll not give up his lotus feet for anything. And you all know better than me, Giriraj Maharaj. His family said, either you give up this Krishna or we cut you out of the will. What did he say? Go ahead. I'm not giving up Prabhupada and Krishna, right? Yes, I have another god brother, Guru Prasad Swami. He's a good friend of mine. He also was in very similar boat. His father, very, very wealthy. And he was in the will for millions. But the father said, but you have to give up Krishna. He said, nope, I'm not giving up Krishna. So, this is the sign of a real devotee. Whatever the allurement is, no, I'm not giving up Krishna. Not giving up. Sometimes in the 70s, some of the big book distributors, Pragosh and others, they were once approached by big corporation, because they could see how the devotees were selling hundreds of books in the Chicago O Hare Krishna Airport. Prabhupada said they should rename that airport O Hare Krishna, because it's called O'Hare Prabhupada said, it should be O Hare Krishna. So one time they were approached by this big, big corporation. We see you are very good salesmen. Why don't you work for us? The Bodhi said, no way. We like prasad. So that's the mark of a devotee. They'll do anything for Krishna and never give Krishna up. All right, let's look at the translation. Please repeat. To deliver the pious. And to annihilate the miscreants. As well as to reestablish the principles of religion. I myself appear. Millennium after millennium. Now, Krishna appears in 6 different incarnations. There is Leela, or pastime incarnations. There's an incarnation for every age, Yuga. And who is the incarnation for this age? Who knows? Oh, yes. But who brought it?
Chaitanya.
Lord Chaitanya. There's also Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, Shirodakshayi Vishnu. There's also the Manvantaras, 14 Manus in one day of Brahma, and for each Manu, a particular incarnation comes. There is also the Guna avatars. Who are the 3 Guna avatars? I think she knows. Who are the 3 Guna avatars? Very good. Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Very good. And then there's Shakti Avesh avatars, empowered living entities like Narada. He is a Bhakti Shakti avatar, empowered to preach. And then there's the 4 Kumaras, Prithu, and so many others, Vyasadev, and some say Srila Prabhupada, empowered to preach Krishna consciousness and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And Leela avatars, there's so many Leela avatars. So these avatars are like the waves of an ocean. If you stand on the shore and somebody said, okay, take your clicker and count each wave, will you ever end? No. You'll come to 999. It'll loop and the next wave is coming. Wave after wave. So the incarnations are coming. And Krishna himself, the origin, the source of all these 6 kinds of incarnations, he comes once in the day of Brahma, and he just came only 5,000 years ago. It was very recent in the scheme of things, only 5,000, because he comes once every few million. And he comes to deliver the pious, the devotees, and annihilate the miscreants, or as we had a president, the evildoers, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion. And what is the ultimate religious principle? Surrender to Krishna. That is the ultimate religious principle. Surrender to Krishna. Let's look at the purport. If you have a book, please follow along. Srila Prabhupada ki. According to Bhagavad Gita, a sadhu, holy man, is a man in Krishna consciousness. A person may appear to be irreligious, but if he has the qualifications of Krishna consciousness, wholly and fully, is to be understood to be a sadhu. And duskritam applies to those who do not care for Krishna consciousness. Such miscreants or duskritam are described as foolish and the lowest of mankind. Where is that in this Bhagavad Gita? Let's see who knows Bhagavad. Where, in what chapter, do we hear about foolish and lowest of mankind? What chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Who has studied Bhagavad Gita?
Chapter 2.
Not chapter 2. Chapter 7. In chapter 7 is where it is described. Namang duskritino mudha prapajyante naradama maya purita jnana asuram bhavam asrita. Chapter 7. Okay, let's get back to the purport. So, even though one may be decorated with mundane education, whereas a person who is 100% engaged in Krishna consciousness is accepted as a sadhu, even though such a person may be neither learned nor well-cultured. Prabhupada's spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, his guru was illiterate. He could not even write his name. But he was so highly advanced in God consciousness. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was such a great scholar. At the age of 7, he had memorized the whole Bhagavad Gita and could give lecture on it. That's Prabhupada's guru. At the age, who's 7 years old? Anybody here 7 years old? Do you know the whole Bhagavad Gita?
No.
Oh, okay. I guess you got some work to do. Bhakti Siddhanta at the age of 7 had memorized the whole Gita, and sometimes his father was, you do tonight's program, go preach. And he could preach at the age of 7. Bhaktis. But his spiritual master couldn't even write his own name. But he could chant the Maha Mantra perfectly without any offense with love of God. So your material situation doesn't matter. All that matters is, do you surrender to Krishna? As far as the atheistic are concerned, it is not necessary for the Supreme Lord to appear as he is to destroy them, as he did with demons Ravan and Kamsa. Kids, who killed Ravan? Who killed him? You. Ram. Everyone say.
Ram.
Oh, you knew that one? And who killed you? Who killed Kamsa? Who killed Kams? Yeah, who killed him? Starts with a K. Say it.
Krishna.
Krishna. Everyone say.
Krishna.
The Lord has many agents who are quite competent to vanquish demons. But the Lord especially descends to appease his unalloyed devotees. Unalloyed means pure. There's nothing else in their heart but love of Krishna. Unalloyed. First time I went to India, 1975, they told me, Prabhu, when we send you out to buy ghee, get pure ghee, no dalda. And when they sent me out with the pail to get milk, I was in Vrindavan, they said, you go with there and make sure that they don't mix water in with the milk, because they will try to cheat you. Things must be pure. So our love for Krishna must be pure love for Krishna. Nothing else mixed in. Just like, how many of you like sweet rice? You like sweet rice, right? But if somebody comes along and puts some ash in your sweet rice, you don't want to eat it now, right? No, that sweet rice must be pure. All right, let's continue. But the Lord especially descends to appease his unalloyed devotees who are always harassed by the demoniac. The demon harasses the devotee, even though the latter may happen to be his kin. Although Prahlad Maharaj was the son of Hiranyakashipu, he was nonetheless persecuted by his father. Although Devaki, the mother of Krishna, was the sister of Kungs, she and her husband, Vasudev, were persecuted only because Krishna was to be born of them. So Lord Krishna appeared primarily to deliver Devaki rather than kill Kungs. But both were performed simultaneously. Therefore Krishna is the expert of multitasking. Krishna is the original multitasker. He can do one thing, and by doing one thing, so many things take place. Therefore, it is said here that to deliver the devotee and vanquish the demon miscreants, the Lord appears in different incarnations. When I used to work, I used to be a bookkeeper, and I used to work in Westwood. And I got along with everybody in the office, and after some time they all knew I was a Hare Krishna devotee. And everybody was good, except there was one demon, Duncan Murray. That he was the vice president of sales. And he just did not like me, because I was a devotee. And he would always try to taunt me, always tried to test me. He wanted to see, I'm going to see if I can agitate him, make him lose his cool. Sometimes he almost did it. But I remembered what Prabhupada taught. But he was always trying to. One time, I had to go to his office to collect something. And he knew what my principles were. And just to taunt me, when I came to his office, he pulled out, you know, those playing cards? You know, when you play cards? But this was a very unique playing card. It was Naked Woman. And he put it on his desk just so that he would agitate me. That's a demon. A demon is someone who cannot tolerate the presence of a devotee. That's a demon. And what can we do? We have to tolerate, we have to forgive them, and we have to keep ourselves and not stoop to their level and still maintain. Like Prahlad. Prahlad never got agitated, right? Prahlad never became disobedient. He still remained meek and humble. So, when you deal with demons, try your best and chant Hare Krishna. Everybody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Krishna Das Kaviraj, the following verses summarize these principles of incarnation. The avatar or incarnation of Godhead descends from the kingdom of God for material manifestation. That's the meaning of avatar. One who descends from the kingdom of God. And the particular form of the personality of Godhead who so descends is called an incarnation or avatar. Such incarnations are situated in the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. And when they descend to the material creation, they assume the name avatar. There are various kinds of avatars. Hey, we already discussed this. Very good. I didn't know this was here. This is what happens when you read Prabhupada's books for years and years and years. Prabhupada will speak through you. Here it is. There are various kinds of avatars, such as Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, Lila avatars, Shaktyavesh avatars, Manvantara avatars, and Yuga avatars, all appearing on schedule all over the universe. That's an important word, schedule. So when somebody says to you, Prabhu, you must accept this incarnation of God. The next schedule is at the end of Kali Yuga. So there ain't no other avatar coming for another 427,000 years. One time, I was in Panama, and I had this one Indian man. He would come every night. He liked me. He liked my preaching. So every night after the programs, I'd be so exhausted, he would come, and he would give me, like Hari Sari says, massage. And while he's massaging, he's saying, Prabhu, so many people accept this person as God. How come you don't accept this person as God? He said, so many people are accepting this person as God. And I said, because in Kali Yuga, there is no avatar, no Leela avatar. Lord Chaitanya has come as devotee, not as God. The Hare Krishna mantra has come, and the next avatar, Kalki, at the end. You want me to accept this person as God? I cannot. Because it says right here, on schedule. God is not whimsical. He comes on schedule. But Lord Krishna is the primeval Lord, the fountainhead of all avatars. That's called avatari. Everyone say.
Avatari.
Yes, the source, the origin. Lord Sri Krishna descends for the specific purpose of mitigating the anxieties of the pure devotees who are very anxious to see him in his original Vrindavan pastimes. Therefore, the prime purpose of the Krishna avatar is to satisfy his unalloyed devotees. The Lord says that he incarnates himself in every millennium. This indicates that he incarnates also in the age of Kali. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, the incarnation of the age of Kali is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who spread the worship of Krishna by the Sankirtan movement, congregational chanting of the holy names, and spread Krishna consciousness throughout India. He predicted that this culture of Sankirtan would be broadcast all over the world, from town to town and village to village. And as I said before, that person who did that was Srila Prabhupada. And that's why we accept him as Shaktyavesh. He was empowered by Lord Chaitanya to distribute the holy name all over the world. This ISKCON movement. Lord Chaitanya, as the incarnation of Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is described secretly, but not directly, in the confidential parts of the revealed scriptures, such as the Upanishads, Mahabharata, and Bhagavatam. And for those of you who would like to know more, there is a purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, chapter 2, where these references of Lord Chaitanya is given one after another. There's a very nice purport. Prabhupada here is only mentioning a few, but in that purport he gives you so many references of how Lord Chaitanya was going to come. The devotees of Lord Krishna are very much attracted by the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. This avatar of the Lord does not kill the miscreants, but delivers them by his causeless mercy. So don't worry. No Hare Krishna devotee is going to strap himself with a bomb and do that, suicide bombing. No, we are forbidden. Lord Chaitanya wants us to deliver them with the Maha Mantra. Everybody?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay. It sounds like you're asking two questions, so I'm going to try and answer both. When Lord Chaitanya was about to kill Jagai and Madai because they had attacked Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya was ready to kill. He had his Sudarshan Chakra. But Nityananda said no. And the idea was that in the age of Kali, if you're going to kill Jagai and Madai, you're going to have to kill everybody. Because everybody is sinful. So you can't have that. It's not the time for universal devastation. So the game plan was different. The game plan was to not kill them, but to kill the demoniac mentality, the demoniac spirit. And that's what this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra does. It annihilates the demoniac tendency. Now, your next question is, why there has to be suffering or being killed, right? Because, first of all, that is the law of this material world. Everyone has to die. And Krishna says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the experience of death is a very painful experience. So you cannot escape it. But in terms of these demons, Krishna kills the demons because they're trying to kill him. Beginning with Putana. So, the game plan was different. Lord Chaitanya is coming in a completely different mentality. So, these demons, they have to be killed because there is no other recourse. You cannot reason. Just like when an animal is stubborn, sometimes you have to beat the animal. You can't sit down. Okay, Mr. Dog, could you stop barking? You can't reason with a dog, can you? No. What you do with a dog, you may do whatever, but you cannot have a philosophical discussion. So, with a demon, there is no more discussion. They're coming to kill. The talks are over. You have to take care of them. In all the instances, Krishna is not the aggressor. Krishna is the protector. So, just like, say there's a problem here in the house. Say somebody knocks down the door, some criminal, and starts attacking you. We call 911. The police come. Now, if the policeman gets to the door and imitates Arjuna, gee, I don't know if I want to engage in this ghastly warfare now. What would you think of that policeman? We would sue. Hey, we called 911. The policeman came to the door and he didn't do anything. That's exactly it. When it's necessary, we use violence. If somebody is attacking you, I have to be willing to sacrifice my life. That is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya. I can't all of a sudden, oh, I'm sadhu, I can't. No. If I see you being attacked, I must interfere. So in the instances of Krishna and the demons, they were attacking. Krishna is playing with the cowherd boys. These demons come and disturb the whole thing. So what else does he want Krishna to do? And at the same time, lucky for them that they're messing with Krishna because they get delivered. That's the greatness of Krishna. That unlike anybody else, right? If there's some culprit, some rascal in this house, and if necessary we have to kill, I'm not Krishna, I can't deliver him. But Krishna is such that if you get killed by Krishna, he delivers you. That's Krishna's greatness. But why did Krishna? It's not that Krishna went around. That's what the demons do. The story of Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha was just walking around looking for somebody to fight. That's not Krishna. Krishna's not walking around. Oh, come on, let's fight. That's a demon. A demon is, and when he approached, when Hiranyaksha approached Varunadev said, hey, I'm too old for this stuff. But don't worry, somebody is coming and he will finish you for good. And Hiranyaksha was saying, great, can't wait. And then Varaha took care of him. So the demoniac mentality is, he's aggressor, right? Krishna's not aggressor. Krishna does it to protect the devotees. Or they started it. Just like You'll read in the second canto, chapter 9, verse 1, a very, very important verse, where Prabhupada explains, we were in the spiritual world, we indicated to Krishna that we wanted to imitate him. We made the first step. It wasn't that Krishna indiscriminately said, you go to the material world, I don't want you here. Krishna's not like that. We indicated to Krishna, no, I want to know what it's like to be you. Krishna says, fine, but it can't happen here because everybody else here is happy that I'm God. You're the only one who doesn't like the fact that I'm God. You want to be me? Then go to Morpork. Try to be me. Go ahead. We made the first move. So Krishna's the same way. Where is that description where Krishna's, you know, with his posse, looking to, you know, with his, you know, gangbangers, looking to... No. Krishna is in Vrindavan, playing the flute, living peacefully, right? Balaram is dancing with his gopis, and that Dvivida gorilla comes and starts to... What's Balaram supposed to do? Balaram is not a coward. If you're going to mess with Balaram, he's going to mess back. But Dvivida gorilla made the first step. And with the battle of Kurukshetra, the Pandavas and Krishna tried so many times to make a reasonable settlement agreement. But Duryodhan wasn't interested. So when there was no more recourse, and that was one of Krishna's arguments, that Arjuna, you don't want to fight the battle, but time for negotiations up now. We've already been there. Now it's time to fight. Are you satisfied with that answer? Okay. What else do you want to discuss? Do you want to add something? Comment? Chime in? Anybody? Question? Comment? All right. What's the next item on the list?
I did have a small question for you.
Then let's go.
First, thank you for such nice, wonderful lecture, and coming to Moor Park, it was very nice to hear you. We hope that you will get to hear you more.
I'll come anytime. I live for this.
What would you say is the reason why, for the sake of getting opulence like money and wealth, people in this world can either perform all kinds of sacrifice to get money and wealth, to the extent that they will even worship different personalities for the sake of getting material opulence, whether it's money, whether it's a good job, car, a good husband, a good wife. What would you say is the reason why people will go to the extent of worshipping different personalities for the sake of getting material benefit?
This is explained nicely in the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Divisions of Faith. Because a person's faith is either in the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance, right? Then they are impelled within the heart, according to Krishna's, you can say, impetus or direction, to worship particular personalities. The reason is they are driven by strong desire. The living entity is basically desire. Every one of us is right now desiring something. Somebody is desiring that I stop talking so that we can get to prasad. Everybody at every moment is desiring something. So now, their consciousness, their heart, their faith is being conducted by a particular combination of the modes of nature. And accordingly, they will pursue the fulfillment of that desire. A non-devotee, an atheist, how does he or she fulfill their desire? Karma mimamsa. I will work hard. And he has faith, he or she has faith, that by my hard work, I'll get. And that's the problem now in America. You know what's happening right now, all these protests. And on the radio, you know what they're saying. These are not misfits or bums. These are college kids. And these are people who bought into the system and they had all their faith. How many years of college you went to? Okay, that was a lot, and now a lot of these people have big, big college loans and no job. So their faith has been totally destroyed. They had faith in a system, and that system turned out to be a joke. It failed them. And then you have these idiots saying, well, if you're poor, it's your own fault. You heard that idiot running for president? I even saw on somebody's lawn, Mudha for president. Idiot. Complete idiot. How convenient. I'm rich because I know how to game the system. And you're poor. Well, it's your own fault. Anyway, faith. What is the distinguishing characteristic between the Uttama, Madhyama, and Kanishtha? Lord Chaitanya says this is the degree of faith. When someone's faith is nicely situated, then the person, akamo sarvakamo bha, moksha kamo udara diti vrena bhakti yogena, when person's faith is nice, he understands or she understands, whatever I want, Krishna will take care of me. That's how you become a devotee. That's the definition of faith. Staunch faith, shraddha. That firm faith in Krishna, all my desires will be fulfilled. That's why I joined this movement. When I was completely frustrated, trying to make it in the material world, trying to become the next Jimi Hendrix, Bob Dylan, John Lennon, asura, when Krishna completely frustrated that, then I came to my senses and I realized, you know what? I'm beating myself, my head against the wall. It's not going to happen. I've been trying this for 5 years. You're not going to get anywhere, stupid. You might as well give this life to Krishna and Prabhupada. And that's what I did. And now, I still get to play guitar. I get to entertain. I get to travel the world. I'm eating pretty good. Best decision I ever made. So it's all a question of where does your faith lie? And as devotees, that's our job. To elevate a person's faith from this point where you should place all your faith in Krishna. Bhagavad Gita is also directing that. Krishna, in so many ways, is getting the person to the point. Once you have faith in Krishna, now you can surrender. If you don't have faith in Krishna, you won't surrender to him. And how does someone get that faith in Krishna? From another devotee. I became a devotee because of Prabhupada and the devotees in the Brooklyn Temple who were kind enough to take me under their wing and give me service and preach to me. Their association gave me that initial faith. So as devotees, that's what we're supposed to do. Help others bring up their faith. What do you think? Are you satisfied with my answer? Anything else? Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. In one of the chapters, Krishna says, I am the reason for the remembrance and forgetfulness.
Oh yes, sarvasya chaham ridhisani vishta matak smitir gyanam apohanamcha. Very good. Go ahead.
Does it mean that a non-devotee doesn't want to worship Krishna?
That's exactly what it means.
Okay.
Very good you brought this. I love preaching on this point. You get a ding.
Thank you, thanks.
So, this verse where Krishna says, from me come knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness, works for the devotee and the demon. Because Krishna is neutral. For the devotee, Krishna says, oh, you want to remember me? I'll help you remember me. I'll give you every opportunity to remember me. I won't force you, but I'll give you opportunity after opportunity. And Krishna says, and I'll help you forget your bad, nasty desires. For the non-devotee, Krishna says, oh, you don't want to remember me? I'll help you. I'll help you so that you never remember me. And I'll also help you to remember all your material desires. I'll help you. Krishna is neutral. How you want Krishna to relate? Krishna says, fine. You want me like this? For the devotee, Krishna appears as Govind. And for the non-devotee, Krishna comes as death. Hiranyakashipu wanted to kill Vishnu. So what did Vishnu do? Oh, he's looking for me everywhere he goes. I know. I'll enter some place where he'll never find me. So Vishnu entered Hiranyakashipu's nostril one time when he was breathing. And he hid in Hiranyakashipu's heart. Because that would be the last place Hiranyakashipu would look for Lord Vishnu. So, Krishna, I've said many times, Krishna is cool. If you want him as an enemy, he'll be the best enemy. If you want Krishna as your lover, he's the best lover. So the question is, how do you want Krishna? I want Krishna, and the song that we're going to sing, the devotee is saying, I want you as Bala Gopal. The devotee in this song that Kandarpa is going to sing, that's what the GBC has said. Right? Radhika. No. Oh, I thought it was Kandarpa. I'm sorry, Kandarpa. I'm very sorry. Oh, I thought you said, okay. The GBC is always right. So, yes. So whatever way you want Krishna, Krishna will comply. So the question you have to ask yourself, how do I want Krishna? And then Krishna will respond. Anything else?
One more
question. Yes, in the microphone so that they can hear you on the internet, please.
Okay. You preached many times the two top devotional services are hearing and chanting.
Yes.
Does it mean like hearing, preaching? I mean, whatever you are preaching, we are hearing, or we are talking about, I am like chanting, like, you know, and I am hearing whatever I chant, I hear and chant, or you preach, I hear and I...
Both. Any topic concerning Krishna is in the category of Shravanam, hearing. So whether it's the Maha Mantra, or some Krishna Bhajan, or some Katha, or the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, as long as Krishna is there, you're connected. That's the question. Where is Krishna in this thing that I'm doing? That's how a devotee is thinking. Where is Krishna? Just like the kids, there's a game. Where is Waldo? You kids haven't played that game? Where is Waldo? Oh, it's different. All right. So, the devotee is thinking, where is Krishna? If Krishna... See, that's the whole point. Sometimes people say, Why are you studying this Kurukshetra war? Because Krishna is there. We can discuss anything, provided Krishna is there. When Bhakti Siddhanta would look at an article, whether or not it should be printed, how many times did Krishna or Chaitanya's name appear? Oh, very good. That can be printed. So the question is, where is Krishna? Does that help you?
Yes.
Anything else? Are you satisfied? Was it all right? All right. Let's move on to the next question.